This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Oanda Senior Market Analyst Kelvin Wong in Singapore. Good morning from London, Kelvin. Good afternoon to you.
Good morning to you, Johnny, and good afternoon over at my end.
Now, yesterday on this side of the Atlantic and in the US, we saw share markets jump after what's been called a total reset in trade terms between the US and China. Of course, we've now got President Trump visiting the Middle East. He's this morning in Saudi Arabia, and he's taken a bunch of very high-flying CEOs, including the likes of Elon Musk and so on. So things are seemingly a lot more positive in markets, and I guess that has continued where you are.
Yes, precisely. So if you look at it, things over here is that based on yesterday's mega risk-on sentiment, primarily driven by the fact that we start to see a much more better than expected, I would say, US-China trade de-escalation, where both parties desired to actually reduce the tariffs that both parties inflicted on one another to a much more manageable amount. So to have a quick recap, US tariffs on China products heading into US has been reduced to 30% and with a possibility of another 20% reduction if China were to be giving much more concrete a signal that they will remove non-tariffs barriers of US goods heading into China. That means, i.e., we're talking about rare earth sanction. We talk about US companies doing business in China. And for China perspective is that China tariffs on US products has been reduced to 10%. So that is way much better than what is market expecting. So that led to a very strong risk of a sentiment, risk on sentiment yesterday. So what I could see today is more of a price action consolidation. So in the major US stock indices today, we start to see a bit of profit taking on the Hang Seng indices, where the Hang Seng index is actually down close. It's really close for the session for today. It's actually down by almost negative 2%. And the China benchmark stock index, the CSI 300, is almost unchanged over here. And what we could see is that even the European benchmark stock indices like the German DAX is only up after yesterday's rally. It's now only trading almost unchanged as well. And the dollar strength that we see a very strong rally in the dollar. So the dollar was actually the best daily gain for the US dollar index in general. That is the best gain since November last year in terms of the daily percentage. So we start to see the dollar is also doing a bit of a consolidation right now. In fact, the euro dollar is up marginally by 0.11%. And even gold, after a sell-off of about 2.7%, so that was the worst daily decline since November last year. Gold is also consolidating right now, up marginally by 0.5% due to its short-term momentum indicator hasn't hit a kind of extreme oversold level.
Now, in recent days, Kelvin, we've certainly seen, particularly from your side of the world, people buying the dip in oil. We saw WTI below 60, as low as 55 at one point. Brent crude also around 60. But there's been a marked recovery over the last few days. And that in tandem with President Trump's visit to Saudi Arabia, I'm sure Trump would prefer it if oil prices stayed around about where they are, if not lower than they are, bearing in mind the concerns about inflation. But maybe the concerns about inflation are allaying now with much better than expected tariffs than we thought originally. What is happening with oil at the moment?
Yeah, so I believe that in a very short-term perspective, oil has this kind of positive feedback loop on this risk-on sentiment that has been unleashed in the markets in the last 2 days or so. So what we could see over here is that the movement of oil price has been pretty much directly in sync with the movement of the major stock indices, particularly the US stock indices. So on the other hand, market participants also got to adjust their positioning is because the fact that OPEC Plus is still in the mood of increasing production. So that is kind of a counter reaction effect. Yes, we have risk on sentiment that increased the demand for oil. But on the other hand, we have another counter effect where we see an increase in oil itself. And do not forget, we also got to be mindful about Trump's preference, putting some kind of political pressure on some of the key OPEC Plus members, which is actually he's visiting with a delegation in Saudi Arabia right now. That could also add another layer of increase in supply coming out from OPEC Plus, given that Trump's pet policy is to have a lower oil price in the US. So perhaps what we could see in from a medium-term perspective, yes, in the short term, we may see oil price touching about $65, $68 per barrel for this WTI. But from a medium-term perspective, we may start to see more of a sideway drift between $70 per barrel and as well as $55 or $54 per barrel on the bottom side of the thing. So that $70 per barrel is actually a key resistance level, which is the 200-day moving average on the West Texas crude oil.
The interesting thing, though, Calvin, is that you mentioned that OPEC Plus looks set to increase oil production. Some might think that's a counterintuitive thing to do because that'll bring prices down. But that move could drive down US shale industry prices and put pressure on those shale producers. So, you know, what he gives with one hand, he takes with the other.
Yes, so I think we know that Trump's policy at the end of the day, nothing is perfect, something got to give, all right? So yes, you do want to make US oil great again. With a lower shale gas price, I mean, that could actually impact the profit margin of shale gas oil producers. So that itself may not be so attractive for US shale gas producer to actually produce much more to the global market. So that's not the intention of Trump, because Trump wants the US shale gas producers to be the market leader going forward. But on the other hand, he wants oil prices to come down. I mean, you've got to have actually select either one or all, you see, or one or zero. You can't have the best of both worlds, you see. So I believe that what Trump's want over here is that if you look at the last few days, he's pretty much very interested in having a very low US interest rate environment. And don't forget over here is that in the last few sessions, we see the US 10-year treasury yield picking up steam, which is about 4%. I mean, that's not what he wants, because he wants to have a lower interest rate in the US. So in order for the Fed to actually lower interest rate, we've got to see oil prices to come down instead of going up.
But with the much more optimistic long-term view regarding tariffs, it looks better for the global economy, doesn't it? Which is possibly another reason why oil prices are up, because we might not be going into any form of recession in the medium to long term. And of course, it's a much brighter outlook for the United States, when many were despairing just, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, that there was a sort of self-inflicted recession by the US administration. Well, that's all almost gone now. I mean, there's still concerns and worries about tariffs, but we're way, way below what we thought we were. So generally, the outlook might be better. Who knows what's going to happen with interest rates now, because the rates possibly could have come down because of concerns about growth. Maybe that's not going to be so much of a concern. So we're going to get some middle of the road balancing act at the moment, aren't we?
Yes. So I think what markets are looking at right now is pretty much key. What happened between now and 90 days later, especially 90 days later between that so-called trade war truce between US and China, because Trump himself, that if he did mention yesterday to the press that if things doesn't turn out as desired as he wanted, there could be a chance that US tariffs on China products hitting back up again, but not as high as 145%, perhaps much higher than where it is right now, which is 30%. So perhaps you're looking at 50% to 80%. So if that starts to kick in over here again, for sure the cost of a price increase will come back into the US economy, and that will lead to another round of negative feedback loop on risk asset class. And don't forget, we also at the point in this time as we are speaking, there are also negotiations ongoing with other developed nations, US, Japan, US, Europe, US, EU, and where actually Trump yesterday mentioned that EU is a much nastier country as compared to China. So, with these nastier things over here, I mean, it seems to us that there got to be another kind of what bashing on EU as well. And on Japan, things get a bit more thorny over here because yesterday the PM of Japan highlighted in parliament is that auto is one of the key exports of Japan, and he wants that to be reduced before we talk about any chance of a proper, we call it a negotiation with the US. And they're actually heading into the third round, if I'm not wrong, by the end of somewhere around this month and even in June. And also, the recently concluded UK and US deal was the fact that UK gave a bit of carrot by opening the UK domestic agriculture industry to allow beefs, US beefs, to head into the UK. But whereas Japan do have a very tightly closed agriculture as well. And yesterday's the Japanese PM actually mentioned in the parliament stating that they still wanted to maintain a tight leash on Japanese local agriculture. So that being said, that it actually implied that perhaps US beefs heading into Japan may not be as easy as US beef heading into UK. So something to be bearing in mind for that. We still may see a bit of not so rosy outcome between US and Japan and US and EU trade negotiation.
Yes, there were some raised eyebrows, shall we say, when President Trump made that comment about the EU being nastier than China, considering some of America's biggest allies, France, Germany, Italy, are a core part of the EU. So it was a slightly strange thing to say. Let's look ahead to the rest of the week, Kelvin. What should we look out for?
Yeah, so for this week, I believe that market participants will be paying very close attention to several key tier one data across the group, as well as some speeches, that whether this start of the week risk-on behavior can persist until this Friday in the short term. So in fact, while we are speaking right now, perhaps around 2 hours and 10 minutes from now, there will be the release of the US CPI data for April. So that's very important because one of the metrics market participants will be watching whether the Fed will turn more dovish or continue to remain as a wait-and-see approach guidance. So what market is looking at for the core inflation rate month-on-month, it will be a slight uptick of 2 basis points from 0.1% to 0.3% expected in April. And for the year-on-year, it's likely to remain the same rate of growth at 2.8%. So anything that is higher than what its market is expecting, we talk about the month-on-month core inflation rate growth to be like 0.5%, and the year-on-year core inflation rate growth for April to come in at 2.9% or 3%, that could actually start to see market participants will be pretty much seeing a much more cemented wait-and-see Fed. Then that could we start to see potentially see a revival, potentially dollar strength coming back into the picture again as well, because the dollar strength actually rallied yesterday as well, in line with the Fed stating that they may not be so eager to cut interest rate given the optimism of that US-China de-escalation. And if core inflation came in better than what market is expecting or higher than what market is expecting, that should give more reasons for the Fed to be more stubborn on their wait-and-see approach. So that could potentially lead to another round of dollar strength coming into play as well. Then for the US stock market, things may be a bit dicier right now because it's either whether market participant wants to be juiced in the sea of trade tariff de-escalation optimism, or market participant will start to infer the possibility of sticky inflation in the US, where potentially costs of financing may remain at a higher level, and that could potentially see a bit of profit taking in the US stock market in the opening session today. And on the other hand, as we head down towards the rest of the week, something to take note of will be on Thursday itself, we will start to see Fed Chair Powell's speech. So market participants will be hearing very clearly, given the fact that US-China de-escalation situation right now, does it change his focus on the US economy? And market participants will try to infer, is there any clues that he will be much more dovish, or very likely he will still maintain that wait-and-see approach, all right? And what we have over here is that in UK, we do have preliminary GDP data coming out from UK as well on Thursday, May the 15th. So Fed Chair Powell's speech will be on Thursday as well. And on Friday, what we have over here will be Japan Q1 preliminary data as well, where market participants are expecting a contraction in the Japanese economy. So that potentially could see a less, I'll put it away, that not so aggressive or not so confident BOJ in terms of the plans to actually keep on hiking rates in the second half of this year. So perhaps they may start to delay their interest rate hike plan at all. So they may not even hike at all for this year if the Japanese economy starts to weaken. So that potentially could start to see the dollar strengthening further against the yen, at least in the shorter term. And to round that up, on the US session, we will start to see another tier one US economic data, which is the University of Michigan consumer sentiment. That's the preliminary one for the month of May. So market expecting another a slight improvement from 52.2 to 53.4. And what market is looking at will be also the inflation expectation as well, whether does it start to stay at a very elevated level. So that could actually create a bit of two-way volatility once the these results are being released on Friday.
Excellent stuff. Calvin, thank you very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you soon.
Thank you, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.